Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
How are you with MMA, by the way?
Better off than I used to be.
Yeah.
I used to really have to turn away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they, especially if they were real, you know. Derek's 6'3", 260, so there's
no secret
what he's going to try to do, you know, in the heavyweight division. But once they got guys on the ground back in the day and started just pummeling them, that was hard for me to watch. But there was a guy named Anderson Silva. This was a while back. This is 6-8 years ago, maybe, something like that. But he was a real wiry dude, and it looked like you could just beat him to hell. But you make one wrong move, and he gets you on the mat, and you're tapping out 5 seconds later. I watched accidentally a pay-per-view at a watering hole one night, and Anderson Silva, and I think Chael Sonnen was involved. I don't know if it was the same match, but they were on the same card. And I'm like, that's actually, like Derek said, it's actually kind of impressive. More goes into that than you think. There's a lot of technique and tactic instead of just, you know, boxing the guy's ears until he gets knocked out. So I'm coming around. I'm better off watching those guys than I used to be, because it used to be I wouldn't even stay with it, you know.
Yeah.
It was so violent. So, and I hate to be that guy, but some of those beatings.
Well, I mean, I've always had an issue with explaining myself as a boxing fan, but not liking generally as much MMA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where's the, that makes no sense. Although to me it does. I don't know. But I will say that I have great respect for their craft and what they have to do to get ready to practice that craft. My God, I mean, you know, that's...
And you blink an eye and make a mistake, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike boxing in that way, you know?
Well, yeah, you get a kick upside the head.
Or you let him take you to the ground and he gets on top of you and this close to breaking your arm and you have to tap, that's it, you know?
Yeah.
So the suddenness of it is, there's a beauty to that for sure. And I don't know if the folks out there realize that Derek Lewis was kind of a YouTube sensation after a match where he was talking to Joe Rogan. It was back in October or early November. I think it was his last fight or one of the last couple of fights that he had. Some of the off-color remarks he made on live television, which was funny, I mean, at the time. And I'm glad he cleaned it up for Wichita Radio. So he's a good follow. He's a good follow on social media because he's, like I said, he toned it down a little bit, knowing his audience. But he says what he wants, and he's a colorful dude. And that's in that what we want in our athletes, a guy that'll kind of shoot from the hip a little bit. And he did that.
I'll be interested to see how UFC does in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine there'll be a tremendous market for it, and Interest Bank Arena will be rocking.
Yeah,
that's coming up, and it's a great date, March 9th, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So neat stuff.
Yep.
Neat stuff.
By the way,
yes,
James Harden. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. He did it again.
Yeah.
They lost, but he did it again. 58 points. The Nets 145, the Rockets 142, and the score fest that has become the NBA. Nobody can stop James Harden. After, what, 54 or 56, backed it up with the season-high 58, and the Nets won anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
21 out of 23 from the line.
I mean,
16 of 34 from the field. And you brought it up yesterday. As well as he's shooting, just because he's shooting 34 times a game, who else would you rather be taking shots for you?
Well,
nobody. Go
right?
ahead.
No.
I mean, that's...
No, I couldn't agree more. I
58
I don't
points
know.
On 34 it's... shots. You'll take that.
Yeah, he doesn't do it... if you watch the Rockets play, you don't feel like he's forcing it. You just feel like he's getting it because he needs to get it for his team to be competitive. Now, his team doesn't defend anything, and he's not a great defensive player, although on occasions he can make a stop. I mean, obviously when you're scoring 280 points between you, no one's really defending. So that kind of goes out the window. But you still got to knock down those shots. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's doing it. And, I mean, he can score 50 pretty effortlessly.
Yeah. Well, he's got P.J. Tucker and Austin Rivers. Eric Gordon actually finally played last night. He had 20 points. And we talked about this. Considering who he has around him, who's going to score if he doesn't?
Yeah, who's going
to
score?
I mean, it would take two other guys to do what Harden does nightly for that Rocket team. You know, Capella out and CP3 out really hurts him, but 58 more points, 10 rebounds and 6 assists last night in a losing effort. And the Brooklyn Nets are 23-23. Mm. They'd be in the playoffs if it started today.
Yeah.
And well, before I looked at the box score, I wouldn't have been able to tell you one person that played for the Brooklyn Nets.
Consider yourself fortunate.
Well, Spencer Dinwiddie, he had a good game last night. He plays.
Although
the Nets.
500, yeah, I mean, you know, they're 500 playing in Barclays Center, playing in the Bronx, you know. So, I mean, it's not bad, but the East is just not. I mean, it's you got a couple of good teams at the top, but you know, down the rung, they're not that good. All right, let's get to our Cindio Twitter question of the day, courtesy of our friends from Syndio. They are your HR experts in Wichita. Syndio, HRO. What do we got?
Almost every movie that's any good at all has a sequel. Which franchise should have stopped at the original because the second one stunk? Caddyshack 2.
Mm.
The Matrix Reloaded.
Hmm.
Jaws the Revenge. Or Speed 2 Cruise Control.
Ooh.
Now, there are
the
more
first
than,
and the last would be my...
There are more than just four, obviously, because, like I said, everybody has a sequel, and not all of them are at least on par with the first.
Caddyshack was comic genius.
Caddyshack 2 couldn't have been much different than Caddyshack, other than Chevy Chase making a cameo in it.
Cameo.
Randy Quaid was in it. That was awful.
Awful.
Caddyshack 2 is the correct answer. That was just a disgrace compared to the original Caddyshack. And if you can't get at least most of the band back together for the sequel, why bother? You know what I mean?
Right.
Isn't that why we come out to see the second one anyway?
Yeah. And by the way, Keanu Reeves is a familiar thread in two of your four questions. The first, Speed.
Yeah, forgot about
that. Okay,
Speed.
He wasn't in the second Speed, and I thought Speed was damn good. By the way,
Speed, you forget about it. It's an underrated.
Well, that was our first. Wasn't that our first glimpse of Sandra Bullock?
I think
it was. It was mine anyway. Yep. And then The Matrix wasn't the third one. I think the third one was pretty good.
Yeah,
I think the Matrix. I can't remember. Reloaded or something.
Well, Reloaded was
know.
The second one.
Which wasn't very good.
Which was panned, yeah.
Yeah, but the third one was decent, it seems like to me. I don't know. I mean, the energy that between Keanu Reeves and the gal, and I'm sorry, I don't know the character's name, but the story wasn't bad.
I think I was one of the few people that didn't like The Matrix, the first one. I didn't like it. I barely made it through it.
Yeah.
And it was all the rage. People couldn't get enough of The Matrix, obviously, since they made a couple of movies thereafter.
Well, wasn't that more special effects than it was the actual story?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
See, I thought the story was actually pretty good by the third one. And it's not like I went and paid for it. It's one of those things where it was on one night and you're not getting to sleep. And so you just switch it on and it's like, oh, okay, this isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But Caddyshack, the second Caddyshack. I mean, I can't even hardly remember the second Caddyshack.
Robert Stack was in the second Caddyshack,
good
for crying
Lord.
Out loud.
So he took over the Ted Knight role.
I think. I don't
probably,
even remember.
Right? I mean, if you don't have Ted Knight, you know.
Or Rodney Dangerfield, Ted Knight.
Sending kids to the gas chamber,
yeah.
Much younger than you, didn't want to do it, felt like I owed it to
felt
him.
I owed it to him, yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, if you can't get Danny Noonan and
yeah,
D'Annunzio and Brian Doyle Murray, whatever, Lou the Caddyshack
yeah.
guy, if you can't get at least a handful of those guys back and have them play prominent roles in the sequel, what's the point?
Now, yeah, I mean, where was Wang?
Right.
I mean, where was Wang in the second one, for God's sake?
Hey, Wang, it's a parking
me?
Lot. Now, I kind of get the, for example, Jaws, because the shark is kind of the star of the show. If you want to try to scare the hell out of people again, same way with the horror movies, you know, Jason, Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why you make spinoffs of those just because it's a guy behind the mask. You know, it's not about the acting. It's about you getting the hell scared out of you. Jaws
right.
the same way. You know, you're too scared to go into the water. I get that, although it was poorly done and the special effects got worse as Jaws went. But if you're going to make a sequel with character actors and they're not there, that's like going to see your favorite band and they have a different lead singer.
Well, you're right. Although the second Jaws wasn't horrible, by the time they got to the third Jaws, we were into 3D and
mm-hmm.
Dennis Quaid and Bess Armstrong, and that kind of lost its juice. The second one wasn't too bad, but the first one was so classic with Robert Shaw and Dreyfuss.
Yep.
God, it was such a good movie. The first Jaws was just... Did you see that in the theaters, Shane?
You know, I don't think I did.
God, that's
you know
too
what?
Bad. Because,
I think I saw. Now that you mentioned it, I think I saw it at the drive-in, which is even better.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I saw it at the drive-in.
Well, that's not. That's a good way to see it.
That scene where those three guys are on the boat at night and kind of telling stories and having a few too many.
One another.
Yeah, that was a really good scene. But you know, like I said, there's a difference between if your main idea is to scare us. Then there can be some spinoffs that can be as scary as the previous ones. But
mm-hmm.
if you actually have to act or make us laugh or stuff like that, and they're not the original bunch, I don't see the point. But you got a mechanical shark, go right ahead. Make as many as you think you can get away with.
That first one was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the opening shot with the gal running on the beach mm-hmm. and going in and the music. I mean, my God, it just, that movie is... That movie's one of the greats.
And when Roy Scheider told us we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah, we're going to need a bigger boat. God, the the one-liners in that thing were so good.
There were some good
you
ones.
Know. Yeah, pretty darn good stuff. So when you've got a classic like that and you're trying to add to it, good luck.
Yeah.
Hey, how can you do better than the original?
You know what, though? I can see why you could get intoxicated with the success and think, oh, I can do that again, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a finite ending to this. I can, you know, make the rest of the story
of
kind of thing, but, man, it's hard.
Well, it's the problem with the way that we do movies anymore. I mean, we have that capacity. It's like, oh, okay, well, this formula worked once. Let's just keep doing it.
And since this is a sports show, Major League 2 failed miserably as far as that's concerned because Major League was so good. Now,
God, it was great.
They did have Charlie Sheen come back. They actually had another one, Back to the Miners or something with Scott Bakula.
Yeah, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, it really was unfortunate.
That was unfortunate. But Tom Berenger in the first one
mm-hmm.
and, you know, pretty good. Actually, was he not in the second one?
No.
I don't remember. I don't think he was.
Rube was his catcher in the second one, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Or
the
maybe,
blonde kid.
Boy, I don't know. That's how... That's how long ago that was. All right, Bob, you got the final word, movie sequels, before we change gears here. How are you doing?
All righty. I'm doing great, gentlemen. Canoe Reeves ties into the mine also. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was a great movie, but the second one just sucked.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Terrible.
You want to know maybe the worst one in the history of film, even though this was just a slapstick comedy, was Dumb and Dumber's sequence.
Oh my God, yeah.
Weren't even the two same guys, and that kind of plays to my point. If you can't get the two main characters, it ain't going to work. And that one was just colossally bad.
Because Dumb and Dumber was actually pretty funny. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
You bet, but you don't tell many people that, though.
Right, yeah, don't admit it.
No, you don't, Bob. Although if people have been listening to me long enough, they know that I'm probably okay with Dumb and Dumber because it fits pretty well.
I'm told Tom Berenger was a coach in the second one.
I knew that he was in it, but and Rene Russo, right? In the first one?
Yes, in the first one, for sure.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, we'll turn the page. Enough of the movies, right? 869-1240 as you get into it. Marty Brenneman is stepping down after a career he's already in the Hall of Fame, for goodness sakes, in the Ford Frick edition of the Hall of Fame, wing of the Hall of Fame for Major League Baseball. This will be his last season. So we'll chat about the great Marty Brenneman and his lasting effect on baseball as we continue.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.